This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 CUNA GAC here in Washington, D.C. And look who we have in the studio lounge. Teresa Freeborn is back in the house, back in the convention center. How are you?
It's been a long year without my friends, so I'm glad to be back here. And thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Oh my gosh, yeah. Always happy to have you here. I've been a big fan of yours for many years and very happy for your success. Not only inside the credit industry, but outside the credit union industry with Smash and Test.
Smash and Test.
And now you got a book, too. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Teresa.
I had a few months of nothing to do, so I thought I'd better dump all
so
that
bust out a book.
Years of sort of pent-up anger about where the world is at and dumped it into a book. And there you go. Just polished it up and just released it 2 weeks ago. So
wow, good for you.
Very exciting times.
So you're on your book tour, so to speak,
sort of.
All right. Well, this will qualify as a book tour a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Hey, all right. So give us a quick overview and then we'll dive into a few questions here.
Well, as I mentioned, I kind of felt compelled to write this book. It was sort of that. I read these statistics every day. Mm-hmm. Every business paper, every business journal talks about the progress that women are making in leadership roles. But if you really look at it carefully, what I find is that, no, we're pretty much stagnant. So I guess I'm at that point in my career that I'm kind of mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. So I thought I'm going to write this book. And as I'm writing the book, I am very passionate about this. And as I realized that, man, who's going to listen to this? And if I think about all the women I know in corporate leadership, mm-hmm. they already know what I have to say.
Right.
They already understand where I come from. They understand my thesis. And I thought, but who doesn't? It's the men. So guess what? I directed this book at the men. So men, we're talking to you.
Okay.
That's kind of
where
I'm going
with this. That was my next question. Who's the audience for this book? So you just said it.
It would be men in leadership. And
okay.
I think if you pick up this book, what you're going to find is that it's not directed at the credit union industry. I love my industry.
Mm-hmm.
My industry has done amazing things for people all over this country mm-hmm. and all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan. And I don't want to diss them. But I do believe that credit unions, in terms of leadership roles, is no different than corporate America. And I'm talking about corporate America here, and corporate Canada.
That too.
But at the end of the day, I mean, it's women have been seeking equity and parity in leadership roles for decades and decades and decades. I mean, I burned my bra in the 70s, okay? How long does this have to go on? We're still not there.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. And the fact that if you look at the Fortune 500, stop bragging when I hear this, bragging about the number of women that are now in Fortune 500. No, it's 44 women in 2022. In 1971, we had one. You call that progress? I don't call that progress.
No.
Like, why isn't it 50-50? And that's kind of where I started with my, you know, my thesis. And here's the part of the thesis that will be interesting to you, and that is that I believe I know what's holding women back, because we're always asked about that. So what is it? What is it that's holding women
back?
It's
a $64,000 question.
And I think it's men.
It is.
It's just that simple.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So the book is really directed at men. And it's going to be a little controversial. So someone said to me, oh, do you think that every male CEO and male board members should have a copy of this on their bedside table? And I said, well, no, because it's going to agitate them. It's not going to help put them to sleep. So that's not where it needs to be, you know. But it is absolutely in your face. And it basically says, here's the lay of the land, like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you'll find is that you may resemble some of those remarks
mm-hmm.
that I make.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on my experience in the credit union industry, but then I take a ton of research and I load it up with that. Because, of course, if a man's going to read this, he's going to say to me,
back it up with numbers.
Is this your opinion, Teresa?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's not my opinion.
It
is absolutely backed up with the research. And then I did primary research as well, just to make sure, are you sure? And so it's all inside of this this little tome of 180 pages. So,
all right. My next question for you mm-hmm. is, okay, so what are men doing either consciously or subconsciously that are keeping women from moving up to the corner office, so to speak? So what are they doing? That they may know or they may not know about.
Yeah, well, it's a good point you just qualified that, because I think that is the case. Some of it is intentional.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They don't want to lose the power, okay?
Ah.
But some of it is unintentional, and it's unwittingly, and it's like, they're just not paying attention. They're not really focused on it. And time and time when I go and speak to any group of people, and there's men at the table, and I say, tell me about your, do you think there's a woman problem? I mean, do you think that we still have a woman problem? That's the first title of my book, my chapters,
okay.
By the way. There is a woman problem, let me tell you about it. But, you know, men are kind of in denial about that, and they think it's okay. They look at me and say, well, Teresa, you progressed, and you advanced in leadership. What's the biggie? You know, I've got two women on my board. I got this. I am talking about 50-50 here, and there's a good reason for it. Think of the difference in our agendas. Think of the just the world itself. If we had 50% of decision making represented by women, they will add a level of concern for community, concern for people, attributes that we're not seeing at the leadership table that will help with organization. We'll have less lawsuits. We'll have, I mean, I can, all of that's in the book, and it's well researched out, but truly, there's a lot of issues with the way corporate America sits today, and credit unions are part of that.
Right.
And they have the same kind of structures. There is a problem. So first of all, I would say, you know, you got to own it. Got to own it, and how can we fix it? So I think if men are preventing women from moving up, it's because, first of all, they haven't acknowledged the problem. So that's the first step.
Okay, all right.
And then you can start thinking of, well, we can talk about the fossilized views that a lot of men still have about women in the workplace, let alone women in leadership.
Yeah.
Everything from that whole family work narrative that we hear, I mean, enough already. We've proved this. We can have babies and be CEOs. Imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the way the world's working.
Yeah. So.
But there's still a lot of that there.
Okay.
So I think that the only way to get everyone's attention here is to be absolutely in your face and really call it a spade a spade.
And anybody who knows you, Teresa, you're not afraid of ruffling a
I'm
few
not,
feathers out
no,
there.
No, I think I might do that.
So I want to get back to, there's a fear factor here that you point out as well, and why men fear women in leadership roles. What's going on there?
I think the first thing I'd say was that they're just afraid to lose the power.
Is it?
Okay.
Is it? Okay.
So my premise is this. Corporate America was structured by men for men. They never envisioned women sitting at that table.
Yeah.
And then women came along because guess what? Got educated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Put in the time, and now we're ready. Call me up, call me in, coach, right? Put me in, I'm ready. And I think that there's just this, honestly, it's just structured in a way that just doesn't contemplate women being right there. Men are uncomfortable at a senior level with other women. They don't really know how to behave. I mean, I've got some great examples in the book. But it truly is, there's this discomfort there. And they honestly don't want to lose all of the control.
Yeah.
What will happen to them?
Yeah.
Well, I would ask the question, well, what's happening to women for years and years and years?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you need to stop being that selfish and start thinking the world will be a better place if we get more women in.
Well, okay, well, that brings up something else that was in here. It's like, I think you know what I'm going to ask you next.
Uh-oh.
Oh, gosh, where is it? Why will these changes put more money in everyone's pockets? That one really intrigued me.
Well, I figured that if I can do anything, I think the men out there would pay attention to this, and that would be that it just, the more gender parity you have in a business, at the top decision tables, we're talking at the board level, we're talking at the C-suite, the more gender parity you have, the more successful the business. And you can say, oh, that's not true. Well, then you need to go back and reread everything that's out there right now, and everything is proving this. Having that kind of balance in decision making at the table creates and boosts business. You will be more profitable by 15%.
Yeah.
And I'm not, these aren't my stats. These are well-known stats from Harvard Business Review. Go look it up. They've done the case studies. It's there. But again, it's about proving this. So I'm suggesting that men actually have to go back and reread those. They're there. Nothing's changed. Your business will be more profitable. But maybe my way in so that men can understand this is to say, and you in turn will have a better bonus because, of course, if your company's
there
more profitable, guess what happens?
There you go.
So it's, why wouldn't you pay attention to this?
Yeah, of course.
Why would you ignore that at your company's bottom line peril? Because that's really what I'm talking about here.
Well, haven't we talked about before that don't women make up a majority of the workforce today?
Well, yes, they do.
50, I mean, it's not like a massive majority, but they are the majority,
they are absolutely
right?
The majority. And if you look at our credit union space, we all know this, 75% of our employees are probably women.
Right.
I'm guessing that at this point. They certainly were a year ago when I checked. the problem is the further you get up in the ranks, even manager, falls, director, right? The percentages start to get lower and lower. And then everybody says to me, oh yeah, but look, as a credit union industry, we have 5,000 credit unions. The majority of them are run by women because we have a lot of smaller credit unions. Well, I say, yeah, that's true. But again, the bigger the credit union, the more unlikely you are to see a woman in those roles. And, you know, someone said, well, why is that? I mean, look at all the women there. We should feel really, we should celebrate that. And I think, well, I kind of call it this pink ghetto of yeah. And I know this also gets your attention. You
it
see,
did.
If I talk this way, I can get your attention.
I am on the edge of my seat,
it.
Teresa. Believe me.
Yeah. Anyway, so all I'm saying here, men wouldn't possibly work for those compensation levels.
I see
and that's
saying.
Why so many women exist in the smaller credit unions running being CEOs and running those credit unions. And they do damn good work, okay? They are the absolute most critical part of the small credit union today is the kind of work these women do. But men would never do those jobs. They're looking for the big jobs. They're looking for the big comp packages. They're not going to find them there. So.
All right. I'm getting to the crux of the conversation here.
Yes.
What needs to change? What needs to change in the culture? The mindset, what needs to change here to make this movement go forward?
You use a really good word, mindset. And I think that's what I'm trying to do with the book here. I'm trying to get inside of your mind here and just say to you that if you're not thinking about this all the time, this isn't a one and done kind of thing. This isn't a, I'm going to put in a DEI program and I'm done. You know, I'm going to hire an HR person that's head of a diversity in my credit union and it's done.
Yeah.
It's not done. And if the CEO and the board are not shouting this from the rooftops and not looking at absolutely every strategy you do as a credit union to see where can I improve this gender parity, then it's never going to happen. It's never going to take hold. You're going to get a couple of wins, but it won't have the lasting power. So I'm saying there's a couple of things you do right away. One is, first of all, own the problem. There is a problem. Stop it. And go back and count in your organization. Do the math. You guys, everybody's bright people here. Do the math. You're going to find that you're so not represented. And when I say represented, I'm talking 50-50. Why can't that be our goal? Why can't that be our goal? We have plenty of women in our industry. Let's make that happen.
Yeah.
But then when you embrace that goal and embrace the problem, then now you can start about doing what should you do about it. Your first go-to is a really simple one. Ask the women. A, ask the women if there's a problem, and B, ask them how do they think that we can fix it. Don't think that some program is going to come in and just solve it. It's not. It's unique to every organization. Different things happen in different organizations, so just be aware of that and embrace what needs to be done and measure and prove to everyone over and over again that we're making some headway or not. And if we're not making headway, you better pivot. Something's not working, so fix it. It's about being very much always top of mind. It seems I always talk about top of mind awareness, right? Well, this is also top of mind awareness for this issue, right? Be aware of it. It's a big problem.
All
and we need to fix it. And the world will be better. Credit unions will do better. It's going
to
be a better place.
No doubt. Yeah, because I think of the tremendous women in this industry already. I'm thinking of Gigi Hyland, Linda Bodie, who's going to be honored tonight.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Gosh, Joan Opp at Stanford.
Yes.
Terry Campbell at my credit in San Diego County. So
Diana
you,
Dykstra.
When you were at Seed, and then we merged with Connecta. So there's so many great women out there. Can't we just look to those examples and go, extreme successes?
Yes.
So it's just like, all right, there's the proof in the pudding that they can crush it.
Yeah.
No matter who you are. So yeah, it's just amazing. So my last question to you is, what do you want to happen with this book? What types of action do you want to, what's the call to action for your book?
The call to action is to make the kind of change that's needed for our sons and our daughters as they come up. I would say though that, you know, it's a great time to be talking about this, in my opinion. I think that people are looking for some keys to this kingdom. How do we make this happen? I am hoping what this book can do is it, for the men, I think it creates that top of mind awareness. It also, I think they're going to resemble quite a few of the remarks in the book when they read it. And maybe they're going to have those aha moments. And then they're going to talk about what maybe I can do about it personally. Okay, they're going to try and figure that out. So in a way, it's a bit of a playbook for men, but also for the women. I didn't write it for the women because, quite frankly, women, we have our own networks. We go to all sorts of symposiums and advancement in women things and read all the books.
Yeah.
And I didn't want another book for women. We got plenty of those. And we all know what's wrong.
Yeah.
So, but for them, I've had young women come to me and say, okay, I read your book. I know it was for men, but I'm going to tell you, you gave me a playbook. I didn't realize this. but now I know what to say when I'm in those situations of
really
blatant discrimination, sexism, everything that still exists that you think went away somehow,
I know,
but it doesn't.
It just boggles the mind.
And these young women are just delighted that they now feel good about that, and they have a voice that perhaps they didn't have a voice before. So if I can help with that, that's fantastic. So it's kind of a twofer. I want to do both sides.
Let's get some momentum going here.
Yep, that's my plan.
This is the catalyst.
So I'm on the road, and I'm looking for speaking engagements, and I've got several lined up, and I want a lot more.
Oh, you're going to be very busy in that area, Teresa. No doubt about it. All righty. Well, the book, again, is called Suits and Skirts. Game on, the battle for corporate leadership. And the author, the one and only Teresa Freeborn here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike.
Congratulations on the book. Congratulations on the success of Smash and Test.
Oh,
my gosh.
You.
I'm blown away by that as
Did you get your bro romper yet?
Not yet.
Yeah.
It's on the list. So I appreciate your time as always. Congrats again. And good luck with the book. Can't wait.
Pleasure.
And we'll put the link in the show notes so people can get right to it.
Oh, thank you.
Well done.
All right.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.